Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, October 17th, 2019, the Beating the Book podcast. Megapod, Gil Alexander, Week 7, National Football League. We'll try to dissect it. We'll try to break it down. We will try, most importantly, to do better than we did last week, which was kind of horrific across the board. I'm going to just say that up front. We'll do better. And we have a new guest, of course, today, obviously. Not to blame Jeff Parles for anything. It wasn't his fault. It was mainly our fault, the main staples of the show. On my right, ladies and gentlemen, he is the number two man over there at, I won't call him the number two man. He's Derek Stevens Consigliere. He's the vice president of operations at Circus Sports. Mike Palm, what's happening, Mike?
Good morning, Gil. It's must be a very proud day for you being an educational elitist with a very prestigious guest.
Yes, it is. I am an educational elitist. It's exactly, no one has ever called me that before, but it's accurate, and I own it. That's not accurate at all. Todd Wishnev is here. He is claiming to be the opposite of an educational elitist, but he's one too. What's happening, Todd?
It's nice to be here and to show my PhD from South Alabama.
Nice. By the way, did you see the South Alabama pick six last night? Did anybody see that? Anybody?
Yes.
Was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. What was he doing? The receiver was 20 yards downfield. What was that?
Look, Sunbelt football is some of the best football you're ever going
to
watch.
Yeah, well, I know. I can't wait to watch that video you posted where apparently you got into it with someone from the Sunbelt Conference from Alabama. That's on Todd's Twitter at TWishnev. All right, and our rotating guest, as Mike Palm has suggested, is a man with pedigree. He has a PhD from Stanford in a subject matter that I once... upon a time used to describe on the podcast, but then I realized it took 20 seconds to get through, so I stopped describing it. Maybe he'll do it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Power Rank, Ed Fang. What's happening, Ed?
Nothing much. Thank you so much for having me. And I would like to say, you know, like a Stanford PhD is like organic describing food. It's really nice to have the label, but it doesn't guarantee the quality inside. And I got a lot of great stories about Stanford PhDs. My favorite was the one that was Larry Page's roommate at Stanford. He was working on his mechanical engineering PhD. And Larry offered, you know, he could have been, what, the fourth, fifth employee at Google?
Yeah.
But then 7-8 years later, Google went public. And this young man was still working on his PhD at Stanford.
Oh, yeah.
Because some things in life are worth more than money. Thank you, Ed.
If you know what it's like to be in the 10th year of your, I mean, it's pretty hard being in the 6th year of your PhD. He was a sad dude that day. I think money trumps some things.
Yeah.
And
I was trying to make a facetious joke, but you never told us what the discipline of your PhD was.
Yes.
So I did my PhD in chemical engineering, and I studied liquids and how molecules move around in liquids. And weirdly, it turns out to be a perfect background to study sports because you see a lot of the same variants and
By the way, I bet you Ed would have tons to say about my quantum physics theories, Gil. Maybe on another podcast.
Oh, probably.
We'd probably talk for hours. That would be fun.
I don't know if it'd be fun, Ed, but it'd be talking for hours. That's for sure. There's that.
Hey, quantum computing is going to come and wreck all our theories on sports betting. So we might as well start talking about it now.
By the way, I sold you short here, Ed. So not only, of course, the flagship is thepowerrank.com. But you do a lot of different things now. What else are you doing? Because I'm on your podcast with Jim Sands later in the day. So explain what everything that you do is.
Yeah, Jim Sonnes and I host Covering the Spread. It's a sports betting podcast that we do for FanDuel and NumberFire. He's a senior editor over there at NumberFire. So we do that twice a week. One's dedicated to college football, one to the NFL. And then I also have my own podcast, the Football Analytics Show, in which I talk to people about football analytics, and it's not explicitly about betting, but we certainly don't shy away from that.
Nice. And Football Analytics Pod is still going strong after all these years.
Yeah, it is. I think it's only year three or maybe four now.
Okay.
It kind of all blends together, but it's been a lot of fun, and it makes me talk to people instead of just holding myself in my basement with my numbers all day.
Okay, well, hopefully your Stanford PhD will give us some winners here today. Before we get to best bets, Mike Palm, circa 6 weeks in, who's in the lead? What's this person's record?
23.5 points. There are two at 23.5. Unlike the Super Contest that has a 27-3.
Jeez.
It's out by like 3.5 games. In quarter two, Gil, remember we had 50 people go 5-0 week one in October?
Mm-hmm.
We now have three people at 10-0.
Wow.
Heading into week three.
You know, I was not only 4-1 like Todd was the first week of the quarterly. I got to 5-1 with that New England win on Thursday night, so I was feeling very good about myself. And then my last four games on Sunday, let me explain to you how they went. They went like this. Loss, loss. Wait, hold up for the rest. Loss. Wait, one more. Loss. So I'm probably not in it anymore. Todd, did you do okay on Sunday?
I was 16-9 coming in, as you know. I went 1-0 in London with the Carolina Panthers, and then I got Baker Mayfield, Freddie Kitchened, and I also got Atlanta Falcons referee problems, and it was a shitstorm of 0-4 to move me to 17-13. The dream is dead, and I'm thinking about going back to Stanford for a PhD.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Let's do it. Let's start with best bets. As always, we start with our guests. Mr. Fang, what is your first best bet of the week, week seven?
Yeah, so the game I like most this week is Houston +1 at Indianapolis.
What about Thursday night's game, Gil? Usually on the format of the show is we talk about Thursday night before the best bets, correct?
You know, Todd is right about format things, and on this he is right. So, Ed, I apologize. Hold the best bet for a second. Thursday night happens to be one of my best bets, actually, ladies and gentlemen. So it's sort of a melding here. Kansas City at Denver tonight. 2 weeks ago, we were looking at a 4-0 Kansas City Chiefs team and an 0-4 Denver Broncos team. 2 weeks is all it takes in the NFL to just discombobulate everything that we think about these teams. The Chiefs are 4-2. The Broncos are 2-4. The Raiders, by the way, in the mix in the AFC West as well at 3-2. This is at Denver. This opened higher than it is, and it has come down this entire time. So we're at a field goal now. I even saw last night -3, -101 at one point. Now it's -3 +100. It is reduced juice. As we speak, I see the Christmas tree lighting up across the board. So I don't know if this will get below a 3. I mean, I can't fathom that it would, but at least that's what it looks like now, consensus. Listen, it was -5.5 at open. How do you feel about this, Mike? Any play tonight? Because you can already sense where I'm going.
Well, I may dabble a little bit on the under in this game, Gil. If there's any offense that Kansas City can stop, it might be Joe Flacco. And we've seen Mahomes hobbled Watkins. When Watkins is out, they're just not as explosive. You know, Fangio's on a little run here with his defense, having held Rivers to 250 yards and then shutting out Mariota in Tennessee last week. So I might take a play on under. I might go first half under 24.5, but not a real strong feeling on this game.
All right, full game total, by the way, 49 on this one. Todd, any thoughts tonight?
Gil, am I marking you down as a best bet for this game?
You will be momentarily.
Okay, so thoughts about this game tonight. Here's the thing. This, you know, I know Kansas City's all banged up. Mahomes' ankle's messed up. There's, you know, problems with wide receiver, offensive line, blah, 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 blah. The thing that I would like to say is this. Vic Fangio beat me every single week, whether I bet on him or against him. I'm going against this Fangio fanny pack jerk. Here's the deal. If you want to beat Kansas City, you at least have to have a decent offense, because even if you're playing better on defense, they're still going to get some points. So to me, this is not the time to be going against Kansas City. I like going against Kansas City when they're giving 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 points. You can get the backdoor covers. When this situation, you're asking Denver to really be competitive with them. And maybe they are, but they're going to have to prove it to me. Just because you beat Marcus Mariota doesn't make me think your defense is fantastic. So if I'm not going to bet this in my three top bets, but if I had to bet here, I'd have a strong lean to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Ed?
Yeah, I'm actually, this is going to be one of my best bets for the week. I really like Kansas City minus -3. When you start looking at this, if you look at a look ahead number, so basically what I would have made this in the preseason, it would have been Kansas City by almost 5 points. And I understand that bad things have happened to them over the last 2 weeks. I still think of the Indy game as kind of inexplicable, how Indianapolis defense that was down a couple of their top players was able to stop Kansas City. Obviously, you know, the Mahomes injury in his ankle probably played a part in that. And sure, he's probably still a little bit banged up, but for all we know, he's going to play tonight. He's probably going to look like the Pat Mahomes that we all know and love. And I just think, you know, Denver was a team coming into the season that we didn't really think that highly of. Yes, their defense looks a little bit better, but I'm so one of the things on defense and on offense, I look at success rate and I adjust for strength of schedule based on who they've played. Denver's defenses look pretty good. They look ninth in pass defense and 17th in rush defense. And in contrast, Kansas City has really struggled. So they're 22nd in pass defense and 31st in rush defense. And they couldn't do anything against Indy's offensive line. But still, with all those things being said, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's a division game. Perhaps they were looking forward to this game a little bit last week. It's a national primetime game. I like Kansas City minus -3.
I am going to add on a best bet of the Kansas City Omaha Chiefs. Now, I know last week I said this about the Houston Texans line where the Chiefs were concerned, where I said, you know, down to 4, that this was an overreaction, overadjustment, and I thought the Chiefs were cheap then. Chiefs went out to a 17-3 lead. And then at the end of the first half, there was that sequence that really changed the game. Juan Thornhill picked off Deshaun Watson, should have knocked it down. It was a fourth down play. Mahomes and the Chiefs, Andy Reid decided they were going to try to matriculate the ball down the field from deep in their from deep on their side. Mahomes was strip sacked with 20 seconds left in the half. Houston recovers. Watson waltzes into the end zone on the very next play. Houston led, and they never looked back. Kansas City was held to 309 total yards. They gave up 472. Yes, their defense is a sieve. And then there's Denver, who held Tennessee to 2 of 14 on third downs. But by the way, Denver was also 2 for 14 on third downs. Joe Flacco and that offense not scaring anybody. They did hold Tennessee to 204 total yards, 39 on the ground. They sacked both Mariota and Tannehill combined 7 times, 3 picks. But it's Mariota, it's Tannehill. They are not the Kansas City Chiefs, newsflash. And I'm basically going to back up everything that everybody said, which is this is 3 points, Kansas City. Like the notion that 2 weeks ago we would tell ourselves, hey, by the way, in 2 weeks, that Thursday night game, Kansas City's only going to be a 3-point favorite. We might have responded, oh, did Mahomes get hurt in the next 2 weeks? Like, we literally would have said that. There would be no other explanation for this. It's Kansas City for me, and this is one of these bets that you have to be willing to lose, right? Like, it's one of these where I'm like, look, it's Kansas City minus -3. I'm betting it. If I lose, so be it. Tip of the cap to Vic Fangio and Denver. And then I'll never bet the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, in this current form with this defense ever again. But one more shot at this on a Thursday night at Denver, just giving 3. Thank you very much. I'll take that. So Kansas City, a best bet for me, too. So Ed and I have already given a best bet, Todd. So mark those down.
Okay, I'm marking down Gil and Ed at Kansas City minus -3.
Ed has already given two best bets. He's also got the Texans plus one.
Ed, do you like Texans plus one better?
He already said it. Gil's totally bumbled the show because he doesn't know the order again.
Well, we'll get to that because he didn't give an explanation.
It's a good one, and I like Houston plus one better.
Okay, well, now you're bumbling the show further, Mike, because you're going out of order. So, for goodness sake.
No, he already gave the pick before Todd interrupted you to correct the order.
I know, but he didn't give the full explanation. So let's go around the horn for first picks, and then we'll get to Texans plus one from Ed as his number two pick, where he can give his full explanation for it. Yes, Todd, is that the way to do it?
That is the way to do it, and I'm surprised with Mike's operational background that he doesn't get that. And
Vice President.
Well, first of all, he gave the pick, and then we went back to Thursday night. I have a question for Todd.
Okay? Yes. Yes,
what
sir.
What makes Vic Fangio a jerk? You said he's a jerk. Do you have a personal experience with him?
That's right.
Yes, I have five personal experiences with him, three against him and two for him. And I'll be honest. If I went to lunch with him, I definitely wouldn't even consider picking up the check.
Well, there was already a lean there, whether it was Fangio or not.
Fangio or any other human being on Earth. That's right. Yeah. Todd, I love you. I say it out of love, Todd. Don't get mad.
Gil, can you ask Mike to make a best bet? Because, you know, I feel we've really dumbed it down. We have a Stanford PhD on the line.
I know, and I apologize. Mike, since you tried to further bumble the show, what is your first bet, Mike? First best bet.
I'm going to take the New York Giants minus -3.
Really?
And if you'd have told me after 2 weeks that I'd ever have the Giants as a best bet, I would have probably said I've lost my mind. But I think this is a tough spot, a 10 a.m. Pacific start game, traveling across the country for Arizona, and the Giants look to have their full complement of their offense back, not only with Barkley, but with the receiver and the tight end. I think this is a short price. I don't know that Arizona, with their awful defense, will score enough points to keep up with Daniel Jones, because I think the Giants can hang in the mid-30s on Arizona here, just so long as they don't get too far behind in this game like Arizona did. So I'll lay three with the Giants as my first best bet.
Okay. By the way, I was saying really, not because I didn't like the pick, but because I'm surprised anybody gravitated towards this game, but your explanation rings true. By the way, I had Ben Falks from ESPN on a numbers game at VEASAN this morning. He also likes the Giants. Arizona did, for all of their one-point win against the Falcons last week, they did have a bunch of lucky breaks. Not lucky, but things went their way. Damier Bird looked like he might have fumbled after a 58-yard catch. Call was upheld after review. Kyler Murray ran for a first down on the game's final drive on a play that was close to being short of the marker, but that review was also confirmed. And then, Todd, you wanted to say something about, like, we all talk about horrible calls, and certainly Monday Night Football was on full display, Detroit and Green Bay, but you claim that Arizona was the beneficiary of the worst call you've ever seen this season?
The kick catch interference, Falcons down 27-10, get back to 27-all, are punting the ball because, of course, you know, the Falcons can't continue and take the lead,
sure,
but they have to go ahead and punt the ball. They punt the ball up in the air pretty high, so it's one of those deals where there's like a whole bunch of guys coming back toward the returner, and the receiving team blockers were closer to the guy making the fair catch than the other guys, and it hits his leg and, of course, bounces away. Falcons get the ball, but they call kick catch interference in what I will contend is definitely in the top three of the worst NFL calls we've seen this year. And, WWE style, of course, Atlanta loses.
Okay, so add that, all those things, Todd's call and the two that I just mentioned, Arizona had everything break their way, including a missed extra point, right, for Matt Bryant to win it. So add those in the Giants column as well, that even Arizona in victory had everything break their way last week against the Falcons. Todd, your first best bet, sir.
My best bet is the Jacksonville Jaguars -3.5. I think the Cincinnati Bengals are not a team that you want to take as a dog, as a short dog. I think you want that team when they're getting 11, 12, 15 points and can get backdoor covers. I don't think you want them when they're only getting 3.5, albeit at home. I think the Jags are a pretty good defensive football team, and Couple that with the Cincinnati horrible defense, I think the Jags will be able to get out past the 3.5.
Yeah, you know, this for me, by the way, was the biggest difference between my guessing lines guess and the actual line. I thought Jacksonville would be 5.5-point favorites, and as you said, they are only 3.5-point favorites. So Jacksonville, your number one best bet. All right, best bet number two. I know some people here were upset that you that I went out of order, I should say, and that you tipped off your second best bet, Ed. But please, so that everybody's happy, Texans plus one, that's your second best bet?
That's right, Gil. Remember, you were on the show, so you get to do whatever you want. But I like Houston plus one. I really think this line is an overreaction to what happened 2 weeks ago when Indianapolis beat Kansas City 19-13. It was really an inexplicable game. Indy's defense is not particularly good, and then they had three starters that did not play for the majority of that game, and yet they still got the win against Pat Mahomes. Of course, there were other situations going on there as well, because Mahomes got his ankle tweaked and hasn't looked like the normal Pat Mahomes since then. However, Indy hasn't played since then, and I just don't think that lightning strikes twice again for this defense. They're still dealing with the injuries. Safety Malik Hooker is out. Darius Leonard, the linebacker, and Clayton Gethers, the safety, are both listed as questionable with concussions. And, you know, even with their good performance against Kansas City, the Colts don't look good on defense by my numbers. So when I look at adjusted success rate, the Colts are 16th against the pass and 26th against the run. Now, on offense, the Colts' offense is essentially what you'd expect without Andrew Luck, but a great offensive line. They're 27th in passing, but best in the NFL in running the ball. So they'll try to run the ball against Houston. I don't think that's going to go particularly well. Houston's run defense is good. They're ranked 10th in the NFL by my adjusted success rate. That's significantly better than what they faced against Kansas City. I've also been looking at Pro Football Focus and their player grades to help my analysis of games this year. One thing that's jumped out to me with Houston is that defensive tackle DJ Reader has a grade of 90 in run defense, and that's out of 100. So overall, my numbers actually like Houston to win this game outright. I will go with Houston plus one at Indy.
Houston plus one at Indy. Houston last week against the Chiefs. I realize it was the Chiefs. But still, 39 minutes and 48 seconds of possession, 19-12, just 19-12 for the Chiefs. Outgained them on the ground, 192 to 53, 472 to 309 in total yards. 10 penalties, yes, for the Texans. That's been a league-wide problem for 70 yards. They'll want to clean that up. But DeSean Jackson, 30 of 42 for 281, touchdown, two picks. Again, the Colts defense, not the Chiefs defense, but certainly the game they wanted from their offense last week. We'll see if we can, if the Texans can carry it over into this week. Got to keep Deshaun Watson upright. That really is, if you do the box score review on these games for the Texans, it often can be distilled to that one point. Is Deshaun Watson getting sacked left and right, meaning four times or more, which happened 8 games in a row at one point? Then a couple games later, he got sacked 6 times earlier this year. But when they keep him clean, which they did last week, MVP candidate, Deshaun Watson for sure. So you're taking Houston plus one, Indianapolis on the extra rest.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to jump in real quick about Watson and sacks. So one of the interesting things that I've come across is the work that Eric Eager at Pro Football Focus has done about just how much control quarterbacks have over their sack rates. It's more than you think. We tend to think about it as the offensive line giving him protection, but often it's the quarterback and his decision making and whether he gets the ball out quickly and whether he invites sacks. And Deshaun Watson is someone that does invite sacks sometimes by pulling the ball down and scrambling around. Russell Wilson is definitely another one in that camp too. So I think the sack rate is an important stat. As you mentioned, Gil, it's not just on the line. I think it's also on Watson as well.
Mike Palm, by the way, who we have lost and had to go run and do stuff. So we apologize for that, technical difficulties, and we can't get him back because he's got time constraints. He likes the under in this game. Am I correct in that, Ed, if we recall that correctly? He likes the under here.
He does like the under.
Okay, he likes the under, and the number on the under here in this game is 47. So Palm is on the under, Houston at Indianapolis. That's his second best bet. Todd, what's best bet number two for you, sir?
Best bet number two was the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, number one.
Oh, God.
Plus 17 points. We talked about this on a numbers game on Wednesday on Gil's show.
I think the difference between Josh Rosen and Ryan Fitzpatrick is vast. Now, I do realize Ryan Fitzpatrick can be a dumpster fire and throw four interceptions, but he can also be a competent quarterback at times. So I'm hoping for the latter this week. I just don't see how a defensive football team like the Bills should be favored by 17 points pretty much against anybody. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick can be somewhat adequate, get the Dolphins 7 points, 23-7, and you cover. So I'll take the Miami Dolphins plus the 17.
I'm with you, man. I am with you. I do not understand how we live in a world where the Buffalo Bills are 17-point favorites over a Ryan Fitzpatrick-led Miami Dolphins team. And again, with all of Ryan Fitzpatrick's foibles, this isn't Josh Rosen. We should not live in this world where Buffalo's a 17-point favorite. So I'm with you there. By the way, this just in, is Dwayne Haskins starting for the Redskins? My God.
Is that real?
Oh, my goodness. Well, taking first-team reps anyway. I am all about the Niners on my number two best bet. Whether it was Case Keenum or Dwight Haskins, I'd be on the Niners. Not only will the place be overrun by Niners fans, a little more than 50% Niners fans, I would say, coast to coast here, but the Redskins were 2 of 14 on third downs against the Dolphins. They could barely hold on to the lead at the end. The Niners against the Rams were awesome. I had the Niners in game in that game at -6.5. They were up 20-7 for a huge portion of the second half. And I never had any doubt, even if doubt crept in, the Niners kept turning the Rams away. Kept turning away. And Jimmy Garoppolo fumbled the ball. The Rams returned it to the San Francisco 36 with 8:40 to play. The Rams promptly turned it over on downs. And Kyle Shanahan had this to say: after that, I had a feeling that if we just don't turn it over, we'll win this game. I haven't had that feeling very much in my career, and the defense definitely gave it to me the whole game. That is huge. I am considering, Mike Palm and I already have the Niners to win the NFC West. I have it at +395, Mike at +375. I'm considering adding NFC futures with the Niners, Super Bowl futures with the Niners. They didn't have, by the way, their starting offensive tackles, Mike McGlinchey and Joe Staley, in that game against the Rams. The Redskins AP, Adrian Peterson, double his yards on the ground. That's not going to matter against the Niners defense. They're flying all over the field. They're stout against the run. They're really good against the pass. I don't know how the Redskins score against this team. I don't know how they stop Jimmy Garoppolo and crew. Give me the Niners -9.5, my second pick.
You know, I liked your second pick before. Now I love your second pick because I think Dwayne Haskins is overmatched. And at least with Case Keenum, you know, he's a below-average quarterback, but he's still an NFL quarterback somewhat. But Haskins, I think, is just fully overmatched. So I love what you're talking about here, Niners.
Well, we'll see what Bill Callahan ultimately decides to do because he announced Case Keenum earlier in the week, but we shall see. Do me a favor, Todd. Give me your number three pick, and before you even do that, give me what Mike Palm's number three pick, because as I mentioned earlier, we lost him.
You got his first two?
We do have his first two.
Okay, his third pick was the Minnesota Vikings -2 on the road at Detroit. He believes that Dalvin Cook should be able to run the ball against Detroit. I think that was the main thrust of his Minnesota argument, was that Minnesota would be able to run the ball on the road at Detroit and be able to come away with their good defense at -2.
Okay, what's your third pick?
My third pick is the Baltimore Ravens at the Seattle Seahawks over the 49. The Baltimore Ravens defense is a dumpster fire. This is not your father's Ray Lewis defense. This is not your father's Ed Reed defense. This is not a good defense. I think Baltimore will give up points to Russell Wilson. And I think they can score as well. Seattle's defense hasn't really impressed me either. Both of these teams have been playing games in the high 20s. I think there's no reason to think that both teams can't get into the high 20s again. Over the 49, let's go points.
By the way, my number three pick is the same as your number two pick. I'm on the Dolphins. Again, you're giving me 17 with Ryan Fitzpatrick, despite the interception rate. He is a feast or famine guy. Miami plus the 17 on principle.
I'm sure you're not allowed to take Miami without doing the song.
No, I'm not going to sing that. I'm sorry. Could you sing it one more time for us, Todd?
Miami Dolphins.
I thought you would. Yeah, for me, it's Miami. And again, much like the previous two picks for me, both the Niners and prior to that, my first pick being the Chiefs, one of these picks that you have to be willing to lose in all of these cases. You can beat me in either of these cases. Broncos, you can beat the Chiefs. Redskins, you can cover against the Niners. And in this particular case right here, Bills, you can cover against the Dolphins. Tip of the cap. But I'll take the Chiefs, the Niners, and Dolphins very, very confidently in each case. Best bet number three, Mr. Fang, what do you got?
Absolutely, yeah. My third best bet is the Chargers plus two at Tennessee. Ooh. And Tennessee's offense has just been a complete disaster this year. When I look at adjusted success rate, they're 30th in pass offense. This has led to the benching of Marcus Mariota, and Ryan Tannehill is going to start this game. Tannehill's pretty interesting. In the years before last year, he had pass grades of 70-ish or above. Last year, he dropped to 45. So that doesn't give me a lot of hope that he's going to come in and be much better than Mariota, especially since Mariota certainly hasn't been good. The interesting thing about this game is that when we only look at the small sample size of this year's numbers, so what I'll do is I'll take stats like margin of victory, success rate, yards per pass attempt, and I'll just look at what teams have done through this season. Tennessee is actually favored by four when you just look at that component. There's a couple factors involved. Tennessee's defense has been terrific. They rank eighth in pass defense and second in run defense when I look at my adjusted sack rate. The Chargers have struggled. The pass defense is 28th, and they haven't had Derwin James all season, and they've had some other injuries in the secondary as well. But when you factor in, there's other things that go into my model as well, and those factors favor the Chargers outright. You have to remember they have Phillip Rivers, who's going to be the best quarterback on that football field on Sunday. So I like the Chargers plus two at Tennessee.
How about Melvin Gordon having the nerve to ask for more carries? He like destroys Austin Eckler's game, all his touches, the Chargers' entire season perhaps by doing so. Now he wants more carries. That's his solution.
This is what happens when good Midwest boys go out to the sunny beaches of Los Angeles. Yeah, I don't think that's going to end well for him.
All right, Ed, we start with you. Two team 6-point teaser of the week. What you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know much about teasers until I had Preston Johnson on my podcast a couple weeks ago, and he told me about some of the underlying data on teasers, and it says essentially that you want to take you want to tease through the key numbers of 3 and potentially 7 when you do this. You can show based on data over a lot of NFL games that these tend to be profitable and of all the things that you can do with teasers. And I think that fits in perfectly with two of the games I like. Chargers plus two at Tennessee and the Texans plus one at Indy. I'm going to tease those through that key important number of 3, and that's my teaser for the week. So we'll get Chargers, plus 8? And then we'll get Houston plus 7.
Support for today's Beating the Book podcast comes, as always, from our friends at bookmaker.eu. I have been saying it all season long. I will continue to say it, that bookmaker.eu is an industry leader for close to 30 years. You should know that by now. Pro players consider them a must because they're first to post odds, they take the highest limits, and most importantly, pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player. That is huge in this day and age. Bookmaker's a high-volume sportsbook best suited for not only the sophisticated player who understands sports betting, but also to large recreational players as well. And their motto is where the lines originate, because chances are the sportsbook at which you've been betting all along follows their lines. And right now, if you visit bookmaker.eu/gill, that's bookmaker.eu/GILL, you can claim an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. Once again, that's bookmaker.eu/gill, GILL, to join and claim your welcome bonus of up to $300 right now. Don't miss out. All right, gentlemen, final two questions. The first of which of the big favorites is the most likely, in your opinion, to lose outright? Only 3 qualify. I think I know what everybody's going to come up with. The only 3 candidates: Buffalo, 17-point favorites at home against Miami; San Francisco, 9.5-point favorites on the road at Washington; and New England, 9.5-point favorites on the road at the New York Jets on Monday night. What you got, Ed? And I should not include Green Bay favored by 5.5 over Oakland in this, right?
You should not, because everyone's going to take, I mean, you're clearly going to take Green Bay because you're getting 4 points compared to the next highest game.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with New England. I think it's more of a call that I trust the Jets more than I trust either Miami or Washington. Jets brought back Sam Darnold last week. Looked pretty good in getting the upset win over Dallas. I don't think they're going to play at that level every week, but I think this is a team that's going to have potential when they have something besides a statue playing quarterback for them. New England obviously has looked great. They're a key Super Bowl contender. There's not much bad you can say about Belichick. We do need to remember that Tom Brady still is 42 years old. I know a little bit about being that age. It's not as good as earlier in your life when you're playing the game of football or any other sports. So not that I really expect this to happen, but if I have to pick one of those three, I'm going to go with New England to get the big favorite to get upset outright. Actually, Gil, I wanted to bring up something about your Washington Redskins that I thought was interesting.
Please.
With Dwayne Haskins, I was talking to Eric Eager, and he has access to all these grades over at Pro Football Focus. And it was interesting that he said that Haskins didn't grade out that well last year at Ohio State, which seems a little preposterous because their offense was particularly explosive, set all the Big Ten passing records. But the analysis was like, yeah, he didn't really have to make that many hard throws. So a lot of it was short stuff, wheel routes, crossing routes, which every Michigan fan will remember from last year. Didn't really have to make deep, intermediate, deep throws. So didn't grade out particularly well. And, you know, I mean, he hasn't looked good in the limited action that he's seen this year. So just something I thought that was interesting, not necessarily heartwarming for a Skins guy like yourself, but...
Oh, such joy you bring, Ed.
That's what I'm here to do, Gil.
I guess if I have to choose from those three, I'll take New England, but I don't like it.
Okay, but I knew you were going to pick that. And finally, the game you want no part of. If we live in a bizarre world, you had to pick a side in each and every one of these games, but you didn't have to bet one of them. Which would it be, Ed?
Yeah, the game I want no part of is the Miami Dolphins game. And I've wanted no part of this team since week one. And I'm a guy who tries to model the outcome of games. And I think it's very important when you do that to understand the limitations of your model. And I think the Miami is a very difficult team to model this year. You have no ideas about motivations. And I think we can sit here and argue all you want about whether they're tanking, what their motivation is. I personally think the players have a lot of motivation to play because they're still relying on this as their job and as their source of income. But that doesn't really seem to be the case sometimes with this team. You have to know the limitations of what you can do and what you can understand. So for that, and since I'm a math guy, I'm going to stay away from the Miami Dolphins.
You know, it's the NFL, so there's a lot of games I don't really want any part of. I guess the best one I would probably go with is, just give me a second here to
anytime,
peruse.
Anytime.
And
don't worry about show.
I would guess.
it's not like this surprised you or anything, but go ahead.
It did surprise me because I was busy with a lot of other stuff. I'm sorry. Philadelphia Eagles and Dallas Cowboys. How in the world do you know what's going to happen in this ball game? The Dallas Cowgirls can look great against crappy teams, look horrible against good teams. The Philadelphia Eagles can lose to the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know what's going to happen here. Give me Philadelphia, Dallas for the stay away.
Okay, for me, New England was the pick for the big favorite most likely to lose outright division game on the road. I don't think New England's looked all that great, even though they're undefeated, so that would be the obvious pick there. I think that's unanimous. And for me, the game I want no part of, for me, it's Arizona and the Giants. I hear all the reasoning with the Giants, but I just don't trust them at all. By the way, the other one for me would actually be Chargers-Titans. That actually might trump Arizona and the Giants for me. Did Mike Palm have a pick for teaser, for big favorite, and for game he wants no part of?
Well, he said Packers on the favorite, but you've already nixed that,
no,
so he doesn't have
do
an
that.
Answer on that.
Okay.
No part of the Rams-Falcons. He doesn't know what he's going to get with the Rams and Falcons. His teaser was the New Orleans Saints, like we both had. Bad sign that all three of us like New Orleans is one leg of our parlay. Mm-hmm. And then he went with the Miami Dolphins plus the 23 points. He agreed with the Fitzpatrick reasoning.
That's
he
right.
thinks Fitzpatrick can hang him in the game. Plus the 23 and New Orleans plus the 9.5.
Gentlemen, we've done all we can do from the power rank. Ed Fank, thank you, Ed.
Thank you so much, Gil. Always a pleasure.
For Mike Palm and Todd Wishnev, good luck with all your Week 7 bets in the National Football League. Thank you so much for listening.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.